Eric Dawson's Talking Politics and Breaking Down the Issues. Coming to you live from Essex County, New Jersey, this is All Things Political.
This is Eric Dawson and Eric
Dixon. This is Eric Dixon.
We got to work that out, right?
No problem.
I don't know how we're going to do this. But we're going to come up with something, people. And when we're going
to
have E&E or E-Squared.
E&E.
Right? I don't know.
There you go.
E&E it is. So this is E&E. And we're bringing you all things political. Today is primary day, and it's election day in New Jersey and in other places around the country. And this has got to be, in my lifetime, one of the most exciting campaign seasons ever. Ever. I'm going on record saying ever.
I will have to say that. Mainly because the electorate, while they're looking for something different, you know, they just accepted everything. I mean, from Trump all the way to Bernie Sanders, for instance, something totally different, something that's not out there. And they're just sick and tired of the Dems and the Republicans getting in the office. It all melds together, and neither party looks like either party when it comes to legislating. But, you know, when it comes to raising money and spending money, you know, now we have these Democratic and Republican conventions and so on and so forth. And it's sad because you have a guy like Bernie Sanders came from obscurity, okay? Third party guy, maybe even a fourth or fifth party guy, you know, socialist they call him. And now he has garnered at least 50% of the Democratic vote in the United States as it goes and won every caucus race. So and that's the issue I wanted to talk about tonight.
And they're trying to dismiss him, man. I mean, they're just saying,
well,
go away now. You did all of this and go away.
You know what? I was talking to a young millennial this morning, you know, on my way to the poll, actually.
A young millennial.
A young millennial.
Oh, stop. The lexicon,
hey,
brother.
They're
a young millennial.
He has a degree. He's out there working hard, you know, and he has a political point of view. But the point that he made to me was quite astute in that. You know, while they're bartering and the media has already coronated, you know, Hillary, and they've already said that 13 of these superdelegates have called in and it's going to push her over the top and, you know, so on and so forth. And he's steadfast to the point that, look, these people can't vote until the 25th. So I don't want to hear nothing. You know, so if you already leaked and said you're going to do this and you already, you know, committed to this, I don't care. You can't do that until the 25th. So at the end of the day, while Hillary has not reached the level of pledged delegates that she was supposed to reach in order to out and out say that she's the nominee, the media and along with Wasserman, Schultz, and everybody else has already just given this race to Hillary. Her argument was, you know, I hate to keep going long on it, but her argument is this. I have a lead in popular vote. And I have a lead in pledged delegates. My, you know, rebut to that would be, what about those caucus states? And are you really ahead of Bernie if those states counted a popular vote?
Okay, so here's my real simple argument. And I had the FM radio station that I do. And this is actually pretty interesting because I left there, I ran back here, and you know, and now we're doing this show. But I had Rahman call in yesterday, Muhammad, the deputy mayor, city of Newark, and you know, he believed that he was gonna show me, right? You know, I'm gonna call him, I'm gonna show Eric, and in fact, he's due to have a debate, which I'm dying to listen to tomorrow. On Real Talk Radio, he called in and he listed all the things you just listed. And I said, okay, look, imagine we're playing a football game.
Right.
And you're the team that has the most yards. You've had the most field goal attempts, not successes, but attempts. You have been in the red zone more times, but you didn't score, right? You didn't score. What does all of that other stuff matter? And so the number is 2383. It's 2383.
Right.
It's not a number I made up. It's the number.
Right.
And it's the number of pledged or earned delegates, not pledged
right.
or earned and super delegates. Pledged or earned delegates.
Right.
And Bernie
right.
Sanders was correct. Neither of them are going to have the prerequisite number of votes going into the convention. You
right.
know, and so Bernie is simply saying, tens of millions of people have voted for me. Why shouldn't I go to the convention floor and make the case? Why shouldn't I do that?
Right.
And this is the last thing I'm going to say real quick. If at the end of the day, the real objective of the Democratic Party is to win the White House, not to coronate
right.
Hillary Clinton, then you would
mm-hmm.
imagine that they would evaluate both candidates and see which one is best suited to go head-to-head with Donald Trump. And if you do that and you look at the national polls, you'll see that Bernie Sanders leads Donald Trump by more points in every poll than Hillary Clinton does. And so that's the argument that he wants to make on the convention floor. What's wrong with that? Why are people
– I don't have a problem with that. But here's what the millennial said to me. If he goes to the convention – because I was going to argue for a VP for him. You know, so, you know, at the end of the day, that was my argument. He said, no, these guys are out here burning a bus for real. And what they're saying is this. He should run a third-party campaign if, in fact, he does not become the nominee, the Democratic nominee for president. And here was the rationale he told me. 43% of Americans ID themselves as independent voters. Now, 25% is Republican and only 31% Democrat. So you tell me if he ran this insurgent Democratic campaign and he won 50% of the Democrat vote, and many of them are devout, like, I'm not voting for Hillary, I'm not voting for Hillary, I'm not voting for Trump. If he don't win, I'm not voting. Or he takes the entire independent vote with that Democratic vote and take the election. And I was like, wow.
So, yeah, here's the problem with that.
Well, okay.
It's an interesting hypothesis.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm going to tell you, I've never taken a political science class, but I think my dad was the ultimate professor. And so most of my life I was in poli sci classes, right? So here's what I'll say about that. You won't have a third party candidate that can win. So if he ran as an independent, he's going to take votes more from Hillary than he will from Donald Trump, and he will usher Donald Trump into the White House. That's what will really happen. So, he'll make a protest statement.
25% of the electorate says that they are Republican. 25%. So you're telling me that if Bernie can take 50% of that 31% of the delegates that he's already proven that he can do, okay? And these independents that are not baked into these numbers, whether Democrats and Republicans, and he ran as an independent, I have to believe that he's going to swamp the independent vote. And if he does take some from Hillary, there's still 31% over the 25% of Republicans. So I'm looking at where he would be most effective. And I have to admit, the Bernie campaign has done a masterful job at crunching these numbers and figuring out how not just to win, but how to keep Hillary from getting at those votes. You understand what I'm saying? So if they could do that, I have to believe that's a pretty compelling argument to run as independent.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to stick to what I say. What I hope he does.
A great argument.
It is. Look, we agree. Listen, we will never, ever disagree with that. It is rigged for Hillary. But what I believe Bernie Sanders has an opportunity to do is be an influencer in a Democratic Party on a down ballot positions that he can go around the country and he can assemble folks who run down ballot. And I think that Bernie Sanders has an opportunity, if he stays pure, to in the off-year election, to gain more seats. So I think that he can be a power player, right, if he doesn't win. I think if he makes compromises, because you can't rationalize Bernie Sanders ever being Hillary Clinton's vice president. That just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's
I think that there would be a revolt.
Out there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think that there would be a revolt in the revolution.
He's stubborn as a mule. The guy, I mean, you know, for all of his great, you know, attributes, and this may even be, you know, a positive for him, he is definitely a stubborn guy. Like, he's like, I'm not going away. This is, you know, this is what I'm doing, and you're not going to deter me. And I really respect that in the candidate, you know, at the end of the day. But, you know, I'm looking for any type of avenue or venue that he could, you know, coalesce in and around and actually win. Because I think that his brand of politics not only is superior than what he's running against, I think that the ideas that he's trying to put into the populace are ideas that resonate with them, that they've been telling government forever that this is what we want and have not been able to accomplish it because of partisanship. So, I mean, he's a fresh paradigm that we could, you know, implement. And I think, you know, VP wouldn't be bad. I don't if he does it in the way that you're saying, it's become a power broker and making sure that ideology is, you know, implanted in the Democratic Party. You know, God bless him. You know, but I don't see a real clear avenue for him, even with a perfect argument at the convention. Because
no, he's not going to win.
I'm trying to figure out what does this guy do with all of this energy and with all of this
game?
Right. You know, how do we make a positive out of it?
Right. So short of Hillary Clinton being indicted, I don't think Bernie Sanders is going to win the nomination. But what I do believe that Bernie Sanders is trying to do is get to the convention floor and make an argument. Now, there are a couple of things that I think the Democratic Party want to be able to do. First, they wanted to have this tremendous coronation of Hillary Clinton. That's what they wanted to do. And Bernie Sanders denied them that opportunity, right? They wanted her to reach the requisite number of pledged delegates before the convention. Bernie Sanders is denying her that. Bernie Sanders is also making these superdelegates who pledged to vote for Hillary Clinton prior to Martin O'Malley getting in the race, prior to any policy papers by anybody, they had already pledged to Hillary Clinton. And Bernie Sanders, at the end of the day, is simply making them stand up and explain why at the convention. That's it. See, they would love, these superdelegates would love to not have to acknowledge why they did what they did, right? They would love for Bernie to drop out of the race, her reach the requisite number of pledged delegates, and then things just go on. They go, see, we told you Hillary was the, you know, that she was the coordinated one. She was the whatever. But he's saying, no, you know what? I'm going to hold all of you guys accountable for the crap that you did.
Right.
That's it.
We need to explain to me why you are a rigged organization. That's what he said. He's like, tell me why this process is rigged. He wants them to explain it to the American people. I think it's clever also. You know, but at the end of the day, at the end of the day, I still believe that the competitor in Bernie is going to make him want to not make this for naught. You understand what I'm saying? I think that he wants to have an active role moving forward in shaping the Democratic or even the right side of the diaspora. And having to say how that goes and what it's going to look like in 20 years. That's what I think he's trying to do. I mean, because let's face it, he's not the youngest guy in the race, you know, and, you know, how many more, you know, cycles will he be even a viable candidate physically to be able to be candidate, you know, a candidate for president? So how is he going to take that into consideration moving forward to make sure that he's become an integral part and what's going on, and how to stay an integral part in what's going on. You know, that's
what
I think.
Well, the hope is, right, a good movement, but a good movement, E,
says that you train the people beneath you to take over. And the movement at the end of the day shouldn't be about Bernie Sanders. It should be about a bunch of ideals. And if people have bought into those ideals, then Bernie Sanders can move out of the way and other people can step in and continue the progress that's been made. Technology is just going to grow by leaps and bounds and will further minimize the impact that mainstream media has. I mean, look at what mainstream media had to do over the last couple of days. And look, this is – I'm going to tell you why I want to do a talk radio show. I would sit with my fiancé and I would say stuff. I'd say, you know what, babe, you know what's going to happen? And I would tell her. And then we turn on the news, and then they would say – and she says, oh, my goodness. And then – like, I'm not even joking, E. And then I would say, you know what's going to happen next? They're going to do X, Y, and Z. And then it would happen. And so she said, you need to have a show. So I said, you know, I'm going to get a show. If you go back and listen to stuff that I said and you watch what is happening, even down to last week when they orchestrated the entire weekend worth of press for Hillary Clinton, right? They rolled out on Thursday, I believe it was, this whole idea of her you know, it was her foreign policy stuff, and she was beating up on Donald Trump. And then they rolled the sound bites. And I want the listeners to understand exactly what happens. What happens is when you have a speech that you're getting ready to run, especially if you have a friendly media, you give a copy of that speech to your friendly media. And then you highlight all of the sound bites that you want. You say, this is a sound bite. This is a sound bite. This is a sound bite. Then you go and you give your speech while the media is there. They're recording it. And then when they're done, they put it through what's referred to as an echo chamber, right? Meaning that you hear it on one station. Then you'll hear it on the next station. Then you'll hear it again. And then you'll hear it again. And that's what you heard. Like right after she did that speech, you know, Steve Kornacki picked it up. Then Chris Hayes picked it up. Chris Matthews picked it up. All of them picked it up. And then it played Thursday all the way until Sunday when George Stephanopoulos had her as his special guest. So they had they laid out the plate for what was going to be the narrative, right? And, you know, so and then they said, okay, what we also need now is we need Hillary to have momentum because the thing that she's been lacking this entire race is momentum. And they said the thing we're going to do to give her momentum is we're going to say that she's the presumptive nominee. And that's going to create the buzz. It's going to create voter suppression. It's going to do all of that. And they did it. And as much as I don't like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, as slimy as I think she is, she said that the media shouldn't call her the presumptive nominee. She believed that that was overboard, even though they had done everything they could in terms of not giving him media coverage and everything.
I don't buy that.
Oh, you're not giving her a pass?
That was I don't buy that, bro. She said that to cover her ass, and everybody knows that. You know, at the end of the day, she's more Hillary than Hillary is Hillary, as far as I'm concerned.
Woo!
You know, I think that she's not objective in this situation at all, and I think that she's actually done a disservice to Bernie Sanders and anybody else that actually ran, O'Malley, for instance, that ran in the race, because they had planned this 18 months out already. You know, but I can say, which you all just alluded to this week, that Hillary Clinton did eviscerate Trump this week. You know, she hasn't hit that point since. She hasn't gotten to that level of intensity since she actually made that speech. She's done variations of the speech. But when she actually laid the speech down, it was such a shocking speech for her to actually have done that she did run the news cycle for a few days and then up until this election, which obviously was choreographed and scaled out, and that's what they did. But the way that she went at him was sort of like a Saturday Night Live skit. You know, it was funny but truthful at the same time. And I think she did a real masterful job. If I could say anything, you know, positive about Hillary, that particular day when she went in on Donald Trump was masterful. Now, she actually gave anybody the blueprint, like we started the show, to say, just look how this man is imploding and what he's doing and how he's moving his campaign forward. he hasn't gotten past the primary stage yet. He doesn't know that he's actually in the World Series and that he actually has to produce now. You know, he can't just throw red meat to the group and everybody just devours it and claps their hands and calls his name. You know, you actually have to have something substantive to say about foreign affairs and anything, you know, that goes on in politics in the United States. And he doesn't have a clear policy on anything. So how he figures that he's going to be able to capture the populace enough to win the election just by saying he's a Republican, I don't understand how he has been a viable candidate thus far. I see him as being probably the shallowest candidate that the Republicans could put forth, and he actually allowed it to happen. You know, that's just my piece. And, you know, Hillary would be better than him by any shot, but I think that, again, people that are disenfranchised with the middle, and you also said to me today, on the Republican side, which there's many, may look at a third candidate like Bernie Sanders. Why? Because he's leading the polls nationally in a general election. So I, you know, look, I'm not trying to, you know, I do consider myself a Democrat, so on and so forth, but the argument is compelling because the numbers could play out that way. Compelling.
See, I'm watching the news. I'm looking, watching the headline. Clinton clinches the nomination. That is the biggest lie ever. She has not clinched the nomination. She hasn't. Clinton clinched the Democratic nomination. That is the headline that's going
you
across.
Know, they do say presumptive, you know.
No, it's not saying presumptive, brother. It's saying that Hillary Clinton clinched the nomination. That's what it's saying.
Wow. What's the numbers in New Jersey right now?
No, the polls haven't closed yet. 38 minutes before the polls close in New Jersey.
Okay.
So, guys,
okay.
If you're listening and you haven't voted, get off the phone, get off the computer. I'd love to have you listening to the show, but it's important that you go out and exercise your right to vote. Yeah, she has not clinched anything, you know. But in terms of Donald Trump, you know what I want to do? I'm going to take a commercial break. I got to do this, so I'm going to take this real quick break, and then when we come back. We will, you know, I want to talk about, and I want to title this section, is Trump trumping Trump? We'll be right back.
Everyone likes data, because when you have more data, you have more freedom. Freedom to do whatever. That's why AT&T is offering you 15 gigabytes for $100 plus $15 for each line. Because the more data you have, the more freedom you can enjoy. Freedom to post more memories, download more fun, and share what matters most with who matters most. 15 gigs of data for $100 plus $15 for each line at AT&T. What more could you want? I sure can't think of anything. AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Come in now and get the all-new LG V10, designed to capture, edit, and share high-quality video.
Pricing is monthly for service on smartphones on AT&T Next. Other pricing options available, overage monthly, and other charges and restrictions apply. See a store for details.
Today is primary day in New Jersey and in other states across the country. If you haven't voted, please go and vote. Polls in New Jersey close at 8. So, E, let me ask you a question, man. Is Trump trumping Trump? Because before we took the break, we were talking. You were talking about, you know, Trump imploding and all different issues, not throwing red meat, that he was trapped in the primary phase of the election when he should have transitioned. So, you know, folks are saying that, you know, Trump just won't listen. That, you know, and you got to imagine even during the primary, and everybody kept saying, and I was too, we were fascinated with the fact that he would throw this red meat out and they would jump on it, right? He would make incendiary comments and nothing ever happened to his poll numbers. I mean, in fact, from the time he got in the race, he led the entire time. He led the entire time. And no matter what he said,
he would lead. And I was wondering, at what point is somebody going to force him to talk policy? And
right.
He had a way of evading policy questions when he was being interviewed, even in one-on-one interviews. You know, he would just start rambling and rambling.
Like, believe me.
Oh,
and,
it's gonna be great.
I got him on the call with this wise guy demeanor. But the whole fact of Trump is, yeah, he's beating himself. You know, he's screwing himself. Because at the end of the day, you're not malleable enough to be able to pivot and go to a general election, then how do you figure that you're going to get anybody under you elected, which we talked about earlier? You know,
right.
The people, the statements that he made, one statement he made last week, which is beyond me, he's in a campaign rally, and he looks out into the crowd, and he says, "There's my African American."
I was at that rally. So what?
Right. So, you know what I'm saying? You know, he flipped on it and said, "Oh, well, you know, it wasn't meant like that." But just the fact that he felt like he could say that, you know, is astounding to me. So, when, you know, now he's gone also after the judge that, you know, is looking over his Trump U case, you know, and because this judge is of Latino descent, you know, he feels that the judge can't be impartial in litigating the case. So not even the Republicans are backing
him. Well, let me
hold.
Stop for a second. I want to ask you a question, though. I want to ask you a question about that, right? And it's a real honest question, E.
Yeah.
See, and nobody talked about this, and this is why I like my radio show
or
our radio show. You know what? I want to take this break. If you're going to – yeah, if it's me and you, what we're going to do is we're going to get the intro changed. We're going to collaborate on the intro because right now the intro says, "This is Eric Dawson. You listen to Eric Dawson, all things political." We're going to change that, right, because we're going to be riding on this. So, I'm going to lay this out there. This is something that I think you're going to hear. Because I think that some of these people who get paid six figures who are on the news listen to stuff that I say. I think they follow my Facebook page. So, ready for this, E? And if they do, you got to come on and vouch that I said it. Now,
I wouldn't doubt it. You get all credit, brother.
Now,
trust me.
Donald Trump said he doesn't trust this Mexican judge because he's Mexican. Right?
Correct.
Now, how many black folks, when they look and they see an all-white jury and they see a white judge, do they say, "No, we can't have that. We got to switch it because I don't believe based on some history or some whatever it is that I'm going to get a fair shake." Now, are we considered to be racist, or do people throw their hands and say, "Oh, I can't believe he don't want that judge because that judge is white," or "I don't believe he doesn't want those 12 jurors because those 12 jurors are white"? No, we don't say that. There's an understanding, right? And all I'm saying is this. Donald Trump has made some really, really awful statements about Mexicans. Why is it unreasonable for him to believe that a Mexican judge might want to stick it to him? Come on, let us not be politically correct, people, when we want to now sit and say, "Oh, well, Donald Trump's a racist because he's talking about this Mexican judge." Come on, judges stick it to people. We know they do, and we know they do for personal reasons sometimes. Is it really unreasonable to believe that now this judge is looking, going, "You know what? This guy made all these damn statements about Mexicans and whatever, and he was flaunting it and peacocking. I'm going to stick it to him." Is that unreasonable?
That's
Come
not
on.
Unreasonable.
It's not unreasonable.
That's not unreasonable. You
and
know,
I don't say that he's a racist for doing that. I say that he's protecting his interests for doing that. And I'm going to go on record and say that. I'm saying he's protecting his interests for doing it. I don't believe he said it because he's a racist. I believe that whatever he believes about Mexicans, that may – and I don't even – on some level, I guess it's racism. And I know for the listeners who are listening, they're going to say, "E, you done fallen off the wagon." I think Donald Trump is not politically correct. Can we say there's a difference between racism and not being politically correct, E? Can we say that?
Absolutely.
Can we say that there's a difference in not being a racist and being politically incorrect? So you can say some things because you're just not politically correct, but you're not a racist.
Okay. You don't necessarily have to be right, but the propensity for you to be may be greater than. So, you know, neither here nor there, but that needs to be said, you know. But you have to trust that, you know, anybody that's judging you can be objective. And that's the whole point. Now, in our world, you know, and on the black side, on the dark side, you know, the objectives, like you said, they're preordained. You already know that you're not going to have a jury of your peers. You already know that 95% of the time that you ever go before a court, the judge is going to be white. And even in the event where you do have black judges, you know, a lot of them have issues that they bring to the bench that, you know, will color, you know, a decision that they make. Let's call it what it is. They're all human,
hey,
and they all have the propensity to do that.
Did you say colored, E? Wait a minute, did you say colored? Did you
colored,
say colored?
No, I didn't say colored.
Oh,
no?
I thought you said something about colored. Okay, see, because we're trying. So we're
politically.
Colored people. I'm sorry. I'm joking. I know.
No.
But I'm just trying to show the. Yeah, I was being facetious because I think that sometimes we can be, like, our ears can be perked to whatever the term is, like, to hear what we think we want to hear as opposed to what's being said. And now, I'm going to say this too, Eric. Donald Trump's been in the public light for a long time.
What?
Hillary Clinton, Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush, the Stop the Trump movement, Marco Rubio, all of them have been digging. They haven't found a single person of Mexican or Puerto Rican or Latin descent that says Donald Trump's a racist. Not one. Not one. Not one has come forward that Donald Trump – I say, I want you to see people. Listen to me, you all. Not one. Not one in all. Now, come on, E. Come on. Not one in all. Decades. Not one black person has come forward and said, this man's a racist. Not one non-white person has come forward and said, this man's a racist. Not one. Not one has said that he has mistreated them. Not one.
When he started the Brexit movement, that should have been a clue.
Right. But again. Now, again, see, what I'm going to go out on a limb. Be wrong. I'm just saying. Is Donald Trump a dude who's a carnival barker more than he is a racist? That he looked and said, you know what? I'm about building my brand. And I'm going to step out here, and I'm going to do this thing, and I'm going to be on television, and I'm going to be whatever. And people are going to say, Donald Trump. And then when I launch the next season of The Apprentice, people are going to tune into Donald Trump. Could that be it? Is he racist? Is he a carnival barker and a masterful brand strategist?
What about when Duke and the racists of the country that said they want to give their support to Trump, and he acts like he don't know what a racist is.
I'm gonna lay that down for you. So I'm gonna bring that to you too. So Donald Trump said, "I'm trying to win." And when you're trying to win, what's the saying go? You never let a good lie get in the way of truth.
Okay.
Oh, no, it goes the other way around. You never let the truth get in the way of a good lie. You never let the truth get in the way of a good lie. So, could it be? And you all are going to say, oh, you're giving him too much. You know, you don't understand what's going on. But could it be that Donald Trump looked and said, you know what? I know who that guy is. I know who he is. But I need those people. I need them. Much like Obama knew that, what was the pastor's name back in 2008? Was it Wright?
William Wright.
Right. Oh, dude, come on. Let's go back to his preaching. Let's go back to it. And they were saying that, and then I guess Obama ultimately said, I denounce him. But he ain't really denounced him. But he ain't really. He denounced him with his mouth, but he ain't really denounced him with his heart, right? He didn't really denounce him. And black people knew he ain't really denounced him. And black people knew that he said what he needed to say so he could stay the course of winning the nomination and becoming the president, the 44th president of the United States. So we knew that he didn't really denounce him. So I'm saying that sometimes you don't let the truth get in the way of a good lie. So Donald Trump realized, holy crap, I'm going to need those people to vote for me because they're angry as all get out. They're angry at the entire country. And so I need them. If I go here and say I denounce this guy, I'm going to lose all of those people. And you had Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, all of them waiting for Donald Trump to denounce them so he could lose all those votes. He said, you know what? I need those votes. By hook or crook, I'm going to get those votes. I don't think that it had anything to do with racism. I think it had to do with him wanting the votes. That's it. That is my honest to biggest thing. That he looked and said, I am in front. I am a reality TV host, and I am in the lead of the contest, the GOP contest for the nomination for the most powerful position in the world. And you're asking me now to denounce this guy, which may cost me millions of votes.
X amount of votes, right.
That's right. No, I'm not going to do it. No, I don't know who he is. That's right. I'm not letting the truth get in the way of a good lie.
Of a good lie. Fair enough. Fair enough.
That's my opinion, man. I don't think that – look at his history.
Let me ask you a question, E. Do you think that Donald Trump is surprised at the success that he has had through the primary process?
Yes. And that's why he doesn't have the proper infrastructure in his campaign, because he's shocked. And he didn't make the investment in building the proper infrastructure to transition from a primary or from a carnival barking campaign to running a real organized general election campaign.
National campaign.
That's right. He didn't think he was going to be here. I mean, he's happy he's here. On some level, in terms of a carnival barker, he thought he was going to be here. But you know what I mean? It's kind of like you say, yo, I'm going to go out here, I'm going to win this game. When you see these guys on the football field, right, when they say, yeah, we're going to go out, we're going to win the Super Bowl, we're going to win the Super Bowl. Why do you think they're crying at the end when they win? Because they can't believe that they really won.
Can't believe they actually did it.
You understand what I'm saying? Right. Yeah. So because if they really believed it, they just walk off the field. Like, we knew we were going to do it. I'm surprised I'm leaving. But they're crying. They're rolling on the ground. They're collapsing because they believed it, but they really didn't believe it. They believed it. They believed it, but they really didn't believe it. And I think Donald Trump believed it, but he really didn't believe it. Yeah, and so now he's looking, saying, wow, look at what's going on, and he is now trumping himself. He's his dude, right, made his billions, self-made, all that stuff that he talked about. So he's looking, going, I'm self-made in terms of the presumptive nominee, and what do I want to be? I want to be self-made as the president. So get out of here. I'm not listening to what y'all say. I'm going to follow what got me here, and he's not listening to advice. He's imploding now. And he's going to have a big problem.
You already see that he can't take direction. He's a leader, and the leader still the lead, true. But a leader also knows when he has to take some kind of information and digest it for himself and do what he needs to do with that information. He doesn't seem to be able to turn that page and say, I could take this information and use it for the good of the people of the United States of America. It's all personal with him. He's like a narcissist in that sense, where he doesn't look beyond his own nose in order to make a decision. And that's unfortunate for us. The fact of the matter is, Donald Trump really isn't suited, you know, to be the president of the United States. Because one, background notwithstanding, at the end of the day, he has run every business that he's ever had into the ground. He's profited from it, but they weren't successful ventures. So where does everybody believe that this business acumen is going to be you know, the rationale for me voting for him is because he's going to be able to do what he's done in the private sector on the world stage, and he wasn't successful truly on the private in the private sector other than making himself rich.
Hey, Ela, well, let me ask you a question.
He was already rich before he started because his father had money.
But let me ask you a question. What's the whole purpose of building a business?
Pardon me?
What's the whole purpose of building a business?
To make money, make a profit.
Right. To make money.
Provide
right.
a service,
so
provide a service.
That he ran
a service to make money.
Yeah, but,
right.
but when we say that he ran the businesses into the ground, but he made money in the process, right?
No.
So
he
a
made
businessman.
Money. And,
no, that's what I'm saying.
Money.
He made money.
He made money.
Right. But.
What about the investors that invested in the project with him? What about the individuals that had jobs that were depending on that venture to be successful? What about the individuals who were actually supporting the venture now that they have these ventures to support? So while he did make money for himself, he wasn't truly a self-made man because, again, he was rich before he started. But the individuals and the entities that he did business with really didn't. I mean, I guess if you knew him closely and you were in on everything he did, you might have made some money. But overall, everybody lost, but Trump won. That's not a good scenario for him being the president of the United States.
Say everybody loses, but Trump wins. Well, but
yeah,
well,
I, you know, I'm not
people. See, I'm playing Trump. I'm playing. Well, instead of saying devil's advocate, I'm going to say Hillary advocate. right. If Trump said, look, I've been able to withstand whatever, and at the end of the day, Trump came out on top. So
right.
I'm gonna put America on my shoulders, and I'm gonna roll it like I've always rolled it. And when Trump comes out on top, America's gonna come out on top. What's wrong with that?
First of all, you know, this isn't, you know, a real estate deal. This isn't, you know, a golf course, you know, planning. This is, like you said, handling and managing the most powerful job on the planet, bar none. So when
you, know
when
what, but
you
he, can we say this, though, but
he
hasn't made any decisions. Trump hasn't made any decisions that have cost lives. Hillary Clinton has. Arab Spring,
what?
Right? Benghazi,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
Iraq, right? Mm-hmm. So she has made, and she in 2008 when she ran against, right? When she ran, well, we don't know. We can make educated guesses. And why don't we know, E? Because she had a personal server built. What? Well, right? No. But she had a personal server built, and she deleted 30,000 emails. And some of those
right.
emails that she deleted had to do with Benghazi. So we really don't know the truth, but one can make an educated guess since she deleted 30,000 emails from a private server in her basement that she wanted
don't
to keep
sense.
Secret so she didn't have a fingerprint in the government in the event that you, you know, did a, what was it called, an Open Information Act request. So
right.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say she has something to do with what happened in Benghazi. But in 2008, what the hell were we doing? Remember the commercial she had? Who do you want answering the call
at 2 a.m.
in the morning?
Yeah,
at 2
right.
a.m., I'm sorry. Right. Well, she answered the call in Benghazi. Or maybe she didn't, and that's what happened. Right? Oh, come on now, see.
And Gaddafi and everything else, bro. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I mean, that's the third. That's what the third in line, you know, from the president of the United States. So she was flexing her muscles, and that's the rationale. Her hawkishness is what's really keeping her in the race, as far as I'm concerned. You know, because her as far, you know, when you look at her plan economically, I don't really see where it buys well for me in my community. You know, it might buy well for other people's community. But, you know, she's not speaking the language that Bernie is speaking. But, you know, as far as the foreign affairs, I mean, she's in it already neck deep. You know, everything that's going on right now, her fingerprint is on that. And a lot of that has been in those 30,000 emails. So, I mean, you really got to look at how professional forensic scientists, computer scientists, cannot go and retrieve this. So she had to know what she was doing, or whoever set up her server knew exactly what they were doing and why they were doing it, and while she answered the questions, there was nothing truly fruitful coming out of it that, you know, that we can measure as the truth or against the truth, you know? So, if she gets in any trouble, I'll be really surprised because it hasn't come to fruition as of yet.
Wow. So, you know, it's interesting, man. I'm watching, and they say Clinton is going to speak in Brooklyn at 10 o'clock.
All right.
The polls in California close at 8 o'clock. That's 11 o'clock our time. Montana, they close at 8 o'clock. What time is that our time? Is that 2 hours difference?
That's
so
2 hours.
So 10 o'clock. In New Mexico, they close at 7 o'clock. That's a two-hour difference, so that means it's 9 o'clock our time, right? North Dakota, I don't know what the time difference is in North Dakota.
South Dakota
is
2 hours.
It's 2 hours, right. So 9 o'clock in all of those and 11 o'clock in Montana. No, 10 o'clock in Montana and 11 o'clock in California. So the timing of Hillary's speech, I was listening to what you were saying, but I was watching things across the screen. The timing of Hillary's speech is I tell you, man, it is so grimy. I have zero respect for Chris Matthews. I have zero respect for Rachel Maddow. I have no respect for Chris Todd. And then Lawrence O'Donnell, I mean, I think that he is the absolute worst. I mean, I think that Lawrence O'Donnell has a secret love affair with Donald Trump. I mean, he just rides Donald Trump, man. You know, like, he's obsessed with him, man. He probably got, like, candles and stuff at home with pictures of Donald Trump, and he just wakes up dreaming about Donald Trump, man. You know, but if you watch him, literally, his level of obsession is almost criminal with Donald Trump. But the way that they've now done it is they're looking and saying, Bernie may very well, if he doesn't win California, he's going to do extremely well, right? So doing extremely well is like winning for Bernie Sanders, considering the fact that he had a 20-point deficit. And what they're trying to do is stomp on any momentum that he has by having Hillary come out at 10 o'clock. So now Hillary would have already spoken. Right? So it's like telling the punchline and then telling the joke.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Everybody's laughing while you're telling the joke because you told a punchline. So Hillary will have spoken. She'll be going off. People will say, it is over. Turn the TV off. Why are we really listening to Bernie? She already spoke. She already, you know, congratulated herself and patted herself on the back and received all the accolades for being the presumptive nominee. And so, well, why are we listening to Bernie Sanders? So once again, the media has played a center role in trying to marginalize the Sanders campaign.
Well, the establishment has taken over the media in that sense, as far as she's concerned. They influenced it any way that they possibly can because it was a concerted effort. You can see that it was a concerted effort. But here's the thing, though, E. Here's the thing, okay? If she does not, in my opinion, outwin California, Bernie Sanders has every right to stay in the race and literally fight for the presidency of the United States. And I'll tell you why. 50%, when you look at it from a perspective of a general election, I think that he is more marketable than Hillary Clinton is. And the numbers show that he's more marketable than Hillary Clinton is.
Absolutely.
Can he get past the rigged? Can he get past the rigged process to be able to show that is the question. I don't see how he's going to be able to get around the rigged process unless he decides to run anyway. So because they are not going to allow him. I don't see where he's going to be able to put 75% of the delegates to be able to get the nomination. I don't see how he's going to be able to get 75%. Actually, I think it's a little over 80%. But the safe number is 75% of the super delegates to be able to flip it, to be able to say, yes, you're going to be our nominee. That's a steep, steep hill.
Yeah,
you know,
no, well, what did he say? He said it from the beginning, this is a steep hill. He said it, though, right? He wasn't disillusioned by how steep the hill was, and he understands how deeply embedded the corruption is within the party. He gets all of that. But him staying in the race is continuing to expose the underbelly of this corrupt system. And that is the thing that I find important. And you know the other thing that's important, E? And I meant this. When I went to vote today and I voted for Bernie Sanders, I said, thank you for staying in the race so I could vote for you. Thank you for staying in the race so I can vote for you. And there is still another primary left to go, at least one more. And so Bernie Sanders staying in the race so those people can go and push the button and vote for him is important to those people. It's important to our democratic process.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy.
You know what I want to find out, E? And maybe you can help me out with this. I need to be able to quantify how caucus results could be measured in real popular vote. Because if he won some like 18 caucuses, I mean, what does that translate into popular vote in that they do not count as popular vote?
Yeah, I'm sure you can get that information somewhere. So you want to know what was the total caucus? What was Bernie Sanders' total caucus vote? Is that what you're looking for?
They don't count it as a popular vote, and at least that's what I understand. I understand that they get into a closed group, and they vote for who they want to vote for, and the winner comes out the winner. It's not like a primary where you go out and you set up an election, and everybody's in. You have to be a delegate in that caucus, and then you vote. But how do we qualify the number that they came up with be able to try to make a popular vote argument for Bernie Sanders when she's constantly saying to the media, I'm up in popular vote by 300,000 votes. 3 million,
no,
excuse me, votes.
No, by 3 million.
Right, 3 million votes, you're right. So, you know, that's also an argument I have to believe that he's going to try to squeeze into the total argument when he's trying to flip these super delegates. So, I mean,
I believe the final argument that Bernie Sanders is going to make is this. Hillary Clinton doesn't win with millennials. Hillary Clinton doesn't win with independent voters. Hillary Clinton would have lost some of those states had they been open primaries because people – they didn't change their party affiliation in time. And then he's going to make the argument and say, when you look at states that Hillary won, down south in particular, that gave her this huge delegate lead as she was coming up north, those states will not be in play in the general election. That's the whole thing. So we're going to win South Carolina. They're going to win that.
You're right. With all the endemic health that Hillary Clinton has gotten in this election process, which started in 8, actually, you know, the thing comes up. You know, I heard this a couple of times this week. Hillary couldn't beat the black guy. Now she can't beat a 74-year-old Jewish guy. You know, you got all the help in the world. The establishment is behind you. The media is behind you. The pundits are behind you. Your husband is an ex-president, and you can't blow out a Negro or African-American, excuse me, or a 74-year-old Jewish guy. How does that stand up against somebody for Trump? I don't know. It's just crazy, man. So, hey, man, all I can say is, you know, you exercise, you use democracy to exercise your vote, and whoever you vote for, that's your choice. And whoever wins, we got to work with them. But, you know, I just see where Bernie, you know, if he continues what he's doing, he just seems stubborn enough to me to actually pull it off.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, you talk about North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Atlanta, Mississippi,
Louisiana, Arizona, Tennessee.
He didn't have name recognition at the time that these races were going on. He was just Bernie Sanders, this guy from Vermont.
But all those states that I just rattled off are red states. Hillary Clinton did very well in, collected her delegate count, and when she came up north, you know, she had this huge lead. Yeah, that was her southern firewall. That southern firewall, dude, is not going to be helpful at all when it comes to general election. It's not. It's just not going to be helpful.
Not looking at the size of those rallies they had at them, or holdowns, or whatever you want to call them down south during the primary election on the Republican side. I mean, it would have to have been downright scary to be an African American in the middle of a rally in Alabama. I mean, I couldn't fathom it. But you know, Eric, it's politics. The red states, blue states. I just see that Bernie Sanders would be a better candidate in the national election, barring Hillary. But if Hillary wins, and he does not become a third party candidate, I'll take the lesser of two evils.
Well, if he doesn't win, and he doesn't become the third party candidate, there is going to be a tremendous amount of and that's the other argument he's going to make. He'll say, look. Not me. You can blame me if you want to for revealing the truth about Hillary Clinton and her ties to Wall Street, right? Hillary Clinton and her dubious, dealings with a personal server and all those other kinds of things.
Right.
The reality is social media has shown that, that these messages have resonated with people. And I can't just, as Bernie Sanders, go and turn off a switch. So you also now have to look and say, who can energize the base? Who can drive the vote out at the polls? Because what do we know? We keep saying it. When the vote is low, Republicans win. When the vote is high, Democrats win.
That's true.
What he's going to argue. That's what he's going to argue, man. He's going to say, so who has the most? And you see, so the key phrases that Bernie Sanders kept using during the, keeps using during the campaign. We have the momentum. That's important. Right. We have the momentum. And nobody's denying that. Nobody's denying that Hillary Clinton she couldn't fill a stadium of people. She can't get that done.
Right.
Hillary Clinton is a very business-like politician, who relies on the establishment to pull the votes together. And Bernie Sanders is movement. He is a force of nature.
The thing that really compels me about Bernie as we're closing out is the fact that he was a mayor. He has already been an executive of a legislative branch, of government, which is a municipality. So, he has the working idea on what it is, to be that CEO of a local government. So I think that he could translate that experience very well. And obviously through his campaign process, you've seen that he's actually done that. Hillary, on the other hand, she has run organizations, governmental organizations or entities, and it's not the same thing. You follow what I'm saying? While they're both leadership positions, one is the actual doing of the job, and the other one is actually doing the part of the job, You're just a part of an administration. You're not the main administrator. So, that's the thing that I really, really liked about Bernie from the beginning, because he actually has a working knowledge on what the executive office would entail, and I think that he would do a great job at executing that. On Hillary's side, I'm not so sure. Is it her husband is going to be the president? Is she going to be taking direct order from him? Is she really going to be that? I don't know. All I know is that during the wars that we have had in recent times that she has presided over as the Secretary of State, we haven't looked that great. While our drone program is awesome, I think that's, top, notch and second to none. I see where, the destabilization in the Middle East is mainly because she wasn't able to stop it. you know, and she wasn't able to manage it in the proper way, and that was her job. So, I mean, I just don't see where, you know, she's going to be that administrator or that executive administrator that we need during this day and time. And that's what I'll close out with this week. You know, if she wins, congratulations to her. But she is going to have to wait till the 25th to be able to get that done. And we're going to bark until then, buddy.
Well said, E. Listen, polls are now closed in New Jersey. And I don't know if they've declared the winner yet, but poll breaking news across the screen. Polls are closed. Everybody tune into your television. We'll see you next Tuesday on All Things Political. Thanks, E.
You've been listening to Eric Dawson talking politics and breaking down the issues. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. for All Things Political.